It's a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Good to be able to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Today is the Lord's Day, a day where we gather together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today is the last Sunday of 2019. The last Sunday in 2019. New Year's is coming up. Some of you have already lied. just to say it in a good way. You made New Year's resolutions and I already broken them. I'm going to travel more. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to define my style. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to save money. I'm going to make every worship service, every assembly, I'm going to make that. Now, I know none of y'all said that. I hope you didn't. I just hope that you do those things. Not none of that up above. Who cares about those things? Some of those you shouldn't be doing anyway. But we have, in times past, and we will continue to make resolutions to do this or do that. And before the first day of the new year ends, there are many people that have already broken the resolution that they have made. We can laugh about it. We can joke about it. But I just want you to know that some of the things that we resolve to do with our lives, they need to be done. If you are a drunk, you need to quit drinking. If you smoke, you need to quit smoking. If you are a liar, you need to quit lying. If you are an adulterer, a fornicator, you need to quit being an adulterer and a fornicator. These are some things that we should not wait until the end of the year to say, I am going to make this New Year's resolution and I'm not going to do those things anymore. You shouldn't do those things because those things are sin. You should not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. You should not have to resolve to say, I'm going to make every assembly. Does anyone have to make you get up in the morning to go to work? No, you want that paycheck. If you want the retirement that God has in store for you, you'll do what's right before Him. And you'll be glad to assemble together with say, I don't know about anybody else here, but I just enjoy coming and looking at the smiles, looking at the frowns, looking at the happy faces, looking at the sad faces of each one of you. Because if you're happy, I want to know why you're happy. If you're sad, I want to know why you're sad. I want to do what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and the verses 24. Brother Gabe, I just love you very dearly. And you don't know why yet, but I'm going to tell you. Brother Gabe was doing a lesson one time, and he said, now we've thrown in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. He don't remember saying that, but I remember him saying that. Verse 24 is very important when you look at it, that we gather together, you know, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. There's a reason why we assemble together. And that is the reason right there, to provoke unto love and good works. But that's not the only reason. We assemble together in order to give honor to God. It is a commandment that we assemble together to do the things that God wants us to do. But that's not my lesson this morning. My lesson is on resolving resolutions worth keeping. Resolutions worth keeping. You want to make a resolution? I want you to look at these things and I want you to resolve in your mind to do what is right before God. These things will bring some clarity to your lives. These things will allow you to understand what God is pleased with, and that you may do those things, for it's going to benefit you in the very end. Yeah, the things I mentioned that we should not be doing those things, it'll benefit you if you don't do those things. But as we look at the scriptures on this morning, we're going to say, and hopefully rightfully so, that these are the things that I am going to do, starting right now. Right now. Today, if you don't know anything else, if you don't learn anything else, learn this. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day. Yesterday's gone. Can't go back and change that. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Today is all we have. So let us do what's right before God. Psalm 37, verse 5 again. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. There's something that we need to realize about God acting. We do not want Him to act toward us in a way that He's displeased with us. But commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still. Be still. Look what, when we look at this and see what God says, He said, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. How many times have we tried to rush things? You know, you can only take one step at a time. You can only live one day at a time. And I used to say, and I had to change it. You haven't heard me change it, but I'm going to change it right now. You know, I used to say a man can only put one leg at a time in his pants. Well, I saw something on the internet the other day where this man actually ran, he jumped, he did a flip, and he put both legs in his pants at a time. But he had to have some help. Somebody had to hold the pants. When we do what God wants us to do, you know who's holding us? God is holding us. I'm not going to try to put both legs in at a time. I'm not going to try that. I'm just going to do what I've been doing. What about you, Brother Roland? One leg at a time? That's what we need to do. Wait. Wait patiently for Him. We can't rush God. There are some things that you're working on in your life. If you continue to work on those things and you continue to trust on God, guess what God is going to do? He's going to either fix them or He's going to tell you, live with it. Live with it. There's consequences to sin, so therefore sometimes we just have to live with it. There are some things that God is going to fix, and when He fixes those things, let's thank Him for it. And if He don't fix them, let's still thank Him for it. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Don't worry about those things. I'm gonna make a New Year's resolution where I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna make all the money that I can in order to keep up with this man over here. What do you think that man is doing? He's looking at you, and every time you get close to him, he's going to do more to leave you behind. So don't try to keep up with him. We have a hard enough time keeping up with ourselves. Let's do what God says. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Just wait. Just wait. Be patient. Don't rush things. Wait on the Lord. You know, some grown-ups are just like children. They just can't wait. They have to know everything before it happens. I need to know the answer. Sometimes the answer is really not that important than doing what you're supposed to be doing in order to get the answer. And you say, well, it must be important then. The important thing is this. If you do not live to see tomorrow, you have done what you were supposed to do, you have your answer. You have your answer. You have waited on the Lord. You have done all that you're supposed to do in order to be pleasing to Him. So he says at least twice right there, to fret not. Don't worry about those things. You do what you're supposed to do, and God is going to do what He is supposed to do. A lot of times, again, we worry about the next man. Well, we need to be looking at self. We talked about self-examination on this morning, as we did a couple of weeks ago. So we need to look at ourselves, and we need to say, am I waiting on the Lord the way He wants me to wait on Him? Or am I trying to rush things? Am I trying to rush things? Resolutions worth keeping. Praise and worship the Lord. Praise and worship the Lord. In the book of Psalm 42 in the verses 4. Psalm 42 in the verses 4. Psalm 42 verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Praising God. Is this not worth keeping? Is this not worth doing? Praising God when we come to this place where we assemble to sing praises unto you. How many of you did not sing this morning? How many of you did not sing? How many of you did not lift your voice unto the Lord? See, He gave us a voice, and we should allow our voice to be heard. Oh, we can get out there on the street corner and we can voice our opinion on this or that, but we don't want to lift our voice to praise God. There's a problem. And the problem is you don't think that God is worthy to be praised. I want you to think again. We need you to think again because He is worthy. He's the one that woke you up this morning. He's the one that gave you the activity of your limbs. He's the one that allowed you to be in your right mind. So He deserves to be praised. Our worship to Him. He's our focal point. Yeah, again, I was glad to see people come in, but, you know, I'm here to worship God. I'm not here to worship any man. I'm here to worship God, to edify you, but to worship God. That's what it's all about. And we find we get excited about assembling with saints. We get excited about assembling with saints in Psalm 122 in the verses 1. Psalm 122 in the verses 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I laugh sometime at Justin and Dante when we say, let's go, it's time to go. Where are we going? Oh, are we going to this place? Are we going to that place? And then they ask the question again, where are we going? Oh, are we going to worship? Sometime the answer or the reply is, again? Again? And then there's times where they may say, well, we're ready to go. You know, Justin was a little upset, I believe, on Friday. He went to the radio program with me on Thursday, and then on Friday he didn't get an opportunity to go. Nita texted me and said, Justin said you left him. Hey, I'm gone. If you ain't ready, I got to go. We have to understand the importance, the excitement that we have when we come together to worship God, because He's given us that right. He's given us that privilege to worship Him. And if you're not excited about worshiping Him, what do you get excited about? What excites you? Again, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, each one of us show excitement different ways. And our excitement needs to be as God is pleased with it. Something that's going to excite Him. We don't have to go to Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 again, do we? We already know what we're supposed to be doing. Why not do those things? Why not do them? Love our brothers and our sisters. love our brothers and our sisters? How many of you do not love your spiritual family? How many of you do not love your spiritual family? I believe that sometimes we say one thing, but our actions show something totally different. Something totally different. From the seat where Brother Simmons is sitting, coming up one, actually, there was a sister that used to sit there back in Longview. I know it's two different seating arrangements, but that's where she used to sit. And I used to say the term, you know, how we're supposed to love one another and how I love them. And she would shout from right there. Small building, but she would shout from right there, "Really?" And I would just look at her sometimes like, "You say one more word." But this is what she meant when she said that. You say you love me, but do you really love me? Amen. See, we can talk all day long, but if there's no action attached to it, there is a problem. Amen. There is a problem. So we find here in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. I mean, you're doing something. Keep doing those things. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So we have a responsibility to show brotherly love to those within and those without. Remember Galatians chapter 6 and verses 10. Therefore, as you have opportunity, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. Love our brothers and our sisters. Love them with action, not just with words. I love you, but I know it's cold outside. I love you, but you're going to have to stay outside. I love you. I know that you're telling me you're hungry, but you're just going to have to be hungry. I love you, but you're telling me you're thirsty, and I see that you're thirsty. You're just going to have to be thirsty. Remember, if you go back and read in Matthew chapter 25, those individuals that saw individuals in those states, in those conditions, and you didn't do anything about it, you're not going to be able to get into heaven. Amen. You're not going to be able to get there. So we have to love our brothers and our sisters. We have to do right before them. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Doing what's right before God. You're sharing things with them. You're helping them because they need help. You're not helping them because one day you might need help. But who's to say? If you do need help, guess who needs to help you? Your brothers and sisters need to help you. So we need to love one another. You know, there are those times where we have passed up people that needed our help, and we just shoo, like we didn't even see them. And then when someone passed you, when you need help, what do you say? What is your response? You use some choice words sometimes. I know he's seen me. I know she's seen me, and they act like they didn't. And they call you that night and say, "Oh, you know, I saw you on Saturday. You saw me where? You didn't do what?" I remember helping a man one day, so I thought I was helping him. I asked him, did he need some help? And again, when you ask someone, do they need some help, that means that you want to assist them in what they are trying to do. He said, "Yes, I need some help." And he had a flat tire, and we began to help him with his flat tire, and his assistants in that were just standing back watching. If I seen him to this day, I wouldn't know who he was. And I would probably do the same thing, and he would probably do the same thing, and so on and so forth. It would continue to go on. Why? Because I am who I am, and he is who he is. But we have to understand that we have to love our brothers and our sisters. We have to do what's right, because God expects us to do these things. Resolutions worth keeping. Speak kind words to one another. That's difficult for some of us, isn't it? "Well, he ain't never said nothing kind to me. She ain't always had bad things to say about me, so I don't have nothing good to say about them or to them." We need to change that, don't we? Proverbs chapter 15 in the verses 1. We need to change it, and we need to change it in a hurry. It shouldn't have never been that way in the first place. No, mom and daddy didn't teach you that. Sometimes that's where we get it from, isn't it? You know, we used to tell you know, what goes on in the house stays in the house. We had to tell Chris that several times. Didn't we tell you what we said in this house? Don't leave this house. We said some words that wasn't so kind, and Chris repeated those words because he thought it was the right thing to do. Boy, don't you ever. Truth is truth, but still, some things don't need to be said. We need to understand that we need to speak kind words to one another. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word. Can we find something good to say to anybody about anything? You all have seen the movie, what is it, 101 Dalmatians or whichever one it was. You know, Mama said, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. That's a lot of us. We just need to keep our mouths shut because we don't want to say anything good. But you know what God wants us to do? He don't want us to keep our mouths shut. He wants us to open our mouth, but He wants us to speak kind words. Do you not think that it's a good thing to tell someone when they're doing something wrong? I believe it's a kind thing. Because you don't want them to be lost. You want to help them out. You can say it in a manner that the person is going to accept it, or you can say it in a manner that's going to make that person mad and they're going to go off on you. But if you are a child of God, you should say those things in a manner that that person will accept them and that the person that you said them to should accept them back. They should be willing to change. In the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Genesis in the chapters 50. When we look at speaking kind words, we need to understand that God has given us many examples of what we should do and why we should do these things. In the book of Genesis chapter 50, starting with the verse 14, after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was there, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for the evil that we did to him." Now, I want you to understand that Joseph's brothers hated him. They hated him to the point of selling him off. At first, they wanted to put him in a pit. Instead, they decided, we're just going to sell him off. We're going to get rid of him. We don't want him around us any longer. And so here, now that Dad is dead, they're saying Joseph is going to hate us, and he's going to repay us for what we've done. They obviously didn't know Joseph. They didn't have the opportunity to look at what he was doing. Yeah, Joseph, as Dante would tell me from time to time, you're telling it on me. Oh yeah, I'm going to tell it on you. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph saw things that were wrong, and Joseph went and told Dad about those things. Those things are not right, and you shouldn't do those things. Look at verse 16. It says, "So they sent a message to Joseph saying, 'Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.' Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones.' Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Can anybody in here say the same? That when your brothers and sisters have done you wrong, that you can speak kindly to them? I remember listening to people, and people still say it today. I remember when they mistreated my mom. I remember when they mistreated my dad. I remember when we did this and did that. I can't find it in my heart to forgive them for what they did, not to me, but what they did to my mom and my daddy. I don't understand. Why would you want to hate somebody for doing something to somebody else? Here, Joseph, they did evil to him, but he said, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. So we cannot allow what somebody has done to somebody else affect what we do. Just because you hate them doesn't mean I have to hate them. And actually, you shouldn't hate them either. You should get your life right before them. You should go to them and tell them what they have done and that they may ask for your forgiveness as Joseph's brothers were doing. Can you forgive us? Dad, fathers, say forgive us. And you know what Joseph did? Joseph forgave them because that's what God wanted him to do. So we need to understand that we need to speak kind words to one another. We need to pray more often. We need to pray more often. Our prayer life is not what it needs to be. We need to pray more often to God because of what God has done for us. Many times, the only time we ever talk to God is when we want something. You think that's the only time God wants to hear from you? No, thank Him. Thank Him for what He has done before you ask for anything else. I just hate to say it. You know, we here in the United States, we're just some ungrateful people. You know, we say, and I say we, I'm not talking about me because I know better. We say that we are a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. And I'm glad that God is not going to judge us according to what everybody else is doing. He's going to judge us according to what we're doing. He's looking at each one of us. We need to pray more often to Him. We need to thank Him for what He has done. Then, yes, we need to ask Him for what we want. And He'll give us the desires of our hearts. But we need to pray more often. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is 18. Ephesians chapter 6, and the verse is 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints. I don't know what to pray for. Look around you. Pray for all saints. Pray as Jesus did. Jesus prayed for Himself. He prayed for those that the Father had given Him. And He prayed for those that would come. That's a whole lot of praying, isn't it? So don't ever think that you don't have anything to pray for. Don't ever think that you don't have anything to thank God for. This alone right here, prayer, can keep us. Can keep us busy for the year to come. It can keep us busy. Maybe it didn't keep you as busy as you needed to be in 2019, but it can keep you busy in 2020. Can you see it? It's there. Let's do what's right before God, and let's continue to thank Him for what He has done and continue to ask Him for what we want, and He will give us the desires of our heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Oh yeah, there's times where we have to be involved in other things. But prayer is what we really need to be involved in with our Father. You know, we get up here and we're having such a good time worshiping God. And we may forget about praying to Him. We may get down so low where we forget about praying to Him. I want you to know, no matter how high you get, no matter how low you get, it all comes back to a level of prayer. Communication with God. That line needs never to be broken. It has to always be intact. We may not pay our light bill on time and our lights may get turned off. We may not pay our water bill on time and our water may get turned off. You know, it may, right now it's pretty warm, but it may get to be a cold, cold winter. And if you don't pay your LG&E and that gets turned off, you're going to freeze. But I want you to know this. If you... Because no one else is going to turn it off but you. If you turn off that communication between you and God, you don't have to worry about getting cold. You don't have to worry about that. If you die with that communication off, you don't have to worry about getting cold because you're going to be in the heat. You're going to be in the fire. So let's do what's right before Him and let's keep this prayer line open. Let's keep it open. We need to visit the sick. We need to visit the sick. The Bible teaches us this is what we need to do. I already mentioned from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 36. When those individuals are there and they said, when did we do this? Well, I don't remember doing it. They're not mad at Him. But when did we do it? We want to know. He said, if you did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When did we not? Now, these individuals right here, they're upset. When did we not do it? When did we didn't see you when you were sick? We didn't see you when you was in prison. We didn't see you when you was hungry. We didn't see you when you was thirsty. We didn't see you when you were naked. You remember all those people you passed? That was me. That was me. I was in need and you didn't help me. So we need to do better, don't we? We need to do better. We need to visit the sick in order for us to have eternal life. This is what God wants us to do. So can we do better in these areas right here? Can we do better? Can we do better in praising God? Yes, we can. We can lift our voices a whole lot louder than we've been lifting them. Can we be excited about, or can we get more excited about assembling together with the saints? Yes, we can. Anita mentioned to me on Saturday, she said, you know, we missed the singing last night at Westside. I was like, man, we sure did. And guess what we were doing? Nothing. Just missed it. Forgot about it, actually. Senior moment. Young folks moment, whatever you want to call it. We forgot about it. Yeah, Brother Ollie, I had to fix that. We need to get excited about worshiping God. Loving our brothers and sisters. We need to do better than that, you know, than what we've been doing, right? Loving our brothers and checking on one another. Who are we supposed to call once we get home today? Who remember who we're supposed to call? Two people. Do you remember those two people we're supposed to call after worship service today? Let you know. If you got a directory, make sure you call Sister Linda Cook Bryant and make sure you call Sister Mabel Carey. Okay? You don't know why? They'll know why. Because I'm going to make sure I call them. If they don't answer, I'm going to leave them a message. Okay? So everybody make sure you call them. They should have at least, let's just say 30, okay? I know there's more than 30 people here, but I don't want to count you. Brother Francis, how many do we have? How many people did you count, Brother Francis? How many? 68. Okay, we're going to eliminate the babies, okay, and the children. We're going to eliminate them. They should get at least 45 calls. 45 calls, okay? Yes, I hope you have unlimited minutes. Call them. Please call them. They need to do something. They need you. They need us. Speak kind words to them. Be kind to them when you call them now. Be kind to them. Pray for them too. Y'all see how this is all fitting in? I thank them for not doing what they were supposed to do this morning. Because it gives us an opportunity to do what we need to do. We need to communicate with one another a little bit more than we have been. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they're going to mess around and we're going to have to visit them, okay? We're going to have to visit them. They're not sick right now, but if they don't do what they're supposed to do, they're subject to get sick. And they may beat me up later, but that's okay, because I have God on my side. Let's do what's right before Him. Study your Bibles daily. Sometimes the only time we ever pick up our Bibles is when we come here. Why? Because this is where you leave it. Take your Bible home with you. Oh, I have one at home. Brush the dust off of it and use it. Study your Bible. Acts 17:11. Why do we study our Bibles? To make sure that what every brother says from this pulpit, from that podium, from the classroom, that it is right before God. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they searched the scriptures daily to make sure that those things that were being said were so in Acts 17:11. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 15. Study. Not to win an argument. Not to prove anybody else right or prove anybody else wrong. But study to show yourself approved before God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2 and the verse is 15. Study. Daily. Daily. 1 Peter chapter 3. And the verse is 15. 2 Peter chapter 3. And the verse is 15. But in your hearts honor Christ. The Lord is holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Why do you go to every assembly? Why do you sing with no instruments of music? Why do you partake the Lord's Supper on every first day of the week? Why do you do those things? Be ready to defend what you're doing. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. Gladly give back to the Lord. Man, you looking at a whole lot of things that we just have a problem with. We have a problem with assembly. We have a problem with giving. If you don't assemble, how can you give? Yeah, we have that person from time to time mail in their contribution. Much rather for you to bring your contribution. That's what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 9 and the verses 7. How do we give? You know, we need some people to be excited about giving back to the Lord. You know, there's people saying, man, I sure wish I could give. I sure wish you would get a job and give. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it? If you're wishing something that you have control over, change it. Change it. If you don't have, God is not going to hold that against you. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The point to this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God, here come that collection plate again. I'm not going to give today. Okay, don't. Don't. Here's what I would like for the men, and I'm pretty sure the elders don't have a problem with this. When you walk down those aisles and you're looking, and hope you're looking, because some people are not trying to give, but they're trying to take. As you're looking at people and you say, he didn't give today. Did you do it next Sunday? He didn't give today, but you know he or she is working. Pull them to the side and ask them, do you understand the importance of giving? Same thing with communion. If you see someone is not taking communion, pull that person aside and talk to them. Ask them why did they not take communion. They may need to talk to you. They may need to know the importance of getting their life right before God so that they can take communion. But again, God loves that you're a forgiver. So we need to resolve these things. These are some resolutions that are worth keeping. Discipline our bodies. Discipline our bodies. Look what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the verses 27. 9:27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I discipline my body. You know how often Paul disciplined his body? Daily. He did what he was supposed to do. He realized that in the end that there was a crown awaiting him because he had done what God wanted him to do. We need to set our minds on things of God. Set our minds on things of God. You know, a lot of times we're concentrating and we're focused on everything that's going on in the world, but we have no idea what's going on in God's Word. Amen. We have no idea. I was in the military. And I remained an E5, or it took me a long time to get to E5 because I wasn't one to go to a board and sit there and listen to these questions that these sergeant majors or these first sergeants were answering and was able to just get them answered off the top of my head because I didn't really want to study. Okay, Corporal Spencer, we're going to make it easy on you. I want you to give me some current events. Current what? I didn't care about the news. I didn't care what was going on. You would see those people before they go and they got that newspaper and they're reading all these things right here, and I'm just sitting out there waiting on my time. All right, Corporal Spencer, come on in. All right, tell me this, tell me that. I don't have the answer, but I'll look it up. You know what one of them did to me one day? They saw me on the sidewalk, and they said, hey, Corporal Spencer, you got the answer I wanted? Man, I wasn't expecting that. We need to quit focusing on things, and we need to look at the Word of God. And we need to realize that one day God is going to call us, and he's going to expect some answers. Are we going to be able to answer him? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse is 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is what it's about, isn't it? That we're focused on what God wants us to do. We're looking at these things, we're examining these things, and we say, my mind needs to be on God. And if your mind is on God, everything else is going to fall into place. Confessing our faults to another. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, in the verses 1 and 2, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we got some work to do. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest ye too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to confess our faults to another. We need to help out one another. He tells us if we confess these faults to one another, that it's going to be okay. That person that we're confessing to is supposed to forgive us. Especially when we look at confessing to God, He's going to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9. We need to do what's right. Work with others in the Lord. Work with others in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we need to work together because we're in this together. We can't fight against one another. There's enough work for everybody to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verses 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants to whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. If you want something, work for it. You want someone to know the gospel? Teach them the gospel. Someone will come behind and they will water. God will give the increase. We are in this together. Do you see the importance of doing what's right before God? Can you see if you do what's right before God, there's no need to make any New Year's resolutions to the things that you need to not do or the things that you want to do? All we got to do is focus on God. He'll cover the ideal of you know, oh, I'm so out of shape, I'm going to resolve and I'm going to get up and I'm going to work and I'm going to do this and do that and the other. Bodily exercise profited little. So therefore, don't resolve to go out and just exercise yourself to death because it's not really going to help you that much. It'll help you, but not that much. It profited little. For the person that says, you know, I'm going to quit eating so much, remember, gluttony is a sin anyway. So why should you resolve not to eat so much? You need to eat healthy. Do that. I know I hear people talking about a keto diet. I have no idea what a keto is and don't want to know. I'm going to just continue to do what I'm doing. And serving God should be our number one priority. And everything else is going to fall into place. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Do those things. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the things that we talked about this morning are the things that we should already be doing. And if you're not doing them, start doing them. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we want you to become one. We want you to come. We want you to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We want you to be immersed in the water of grave of baptism. As you rise out of that watery grave, we want you to rejoice and we want you to continue rejoicing. Be an example to someone else. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. Let's do what's right. If you're here and you need to confess your faults, do that. Get your life right with God, for tomorrow is not yours. Let's do what's right. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.